Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. It is 105 in Edmonton. Hour number two of Oilers Now, which is brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex, who wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Now, you can reach us at any time on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. The River Cree Resort and Casino is back up and at them because the province is back up and at them. All of their locations in the River Cree, good to go, including the likes of Tap 25, Italia, Fatburger, you name it. They've got it going on at the River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. You can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street and 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday at Ashley Fine Floors. We will tell you, we are just working on hooking up with a guy who's been pretty busy today, doing a lot of different media interviews. The first openly gay NHL drafted player, Luke Prokop from Edmonton, will be joining us sometime here in the next half hour. He's, again, I think he's just finishing up another interview.
That's exactly right, Bob. We're about 5 minutes out. We'll give him a call.
5 minutes out? Okay. Luke will be our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We'll tell you that there's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Rich Ford in Wetaskiwin committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments or interest rate that's too high, a vehicle that you may want to sell, refinance, or trade in for something different, you can visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford, or give them a call, 1-877-477-3673, or visit BrentRidge.com. All right, into the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Again, you can text at 780-496-0063. JP says, Bob, Frank Cervelli said he believes there's a strong possibility Edmonton ultimately re-signs Tyson Barrie. How would that make the rest of the Oilers D look makeup-wise? Well, we know this. On the left side, the Oilers are going to have Darnell Nurse, and they're going to have Duncan Keith. They've still got Chris Russell as well as William Lagesson. On the right side, Evan Bouchard is a fine prospect that could end up seeing, depending upon who's here and who isn't here, he's going to be in the mix. We know Ethan Bear is going to be there. So if Edmonton does not get a deal consummated with Adam Larson and re-signs Tyson Barrie, I think we'd see a scenario where Bouchard and Bear would be penalty killers on the right side. Nurse and Keith would be penalty killers on the left side. And whoever Edmonton's got in that three-hole on the left side, be it a Lagesson, a Chris Russell, or potentially another player Edmonton would sign, would be PK guys as well. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. This text comes in from Peter in Wainwright. He said, nothing but respect for Luke Prokop. True inspiration and bravely displayed by this young man. I'm happy he can be openly himself, and I hope this brings him happiness and peace to show the world who he is. I'm straight, but I can only imagine how many young men and women are going to be touched by his incredible courage. And again, within a couple minutes, we'll have Luke on the show here. This one comes in saying, Luke was a really good WHL player. I hated him as an Oil Kings fan. Well, Luke's probably going to play major junior hockey this year. He spent the last couple seasons with the Calgary Hitmen. Again, the Edmonton Oilers were definitely looking at drafting Prokop in the 2020 NHL draft. The Big L has texted the show. Luke Prokop is a brave kid. He deserves all the support from everybody out there. On another note, this is the year to trade a first-round pick. Outside the clear top picks, it's a bit of a crapshoot. The kids haven't played a regular season, and not all of them have been given the same level of evaluation as previous years. So the Big L is suggesting that the Oilers should probably trade down. Okay, we'll see. We'll see what ultimately has to do. Bob, do you think the Oilers would show any interest in Philip Grubauer? I think it'd be hard to get there with Philip Grubauer. I think that Mike Smith's going to be back, and we'll see what we can make up happen there. But I don't see – I think Grubauer ends up – let's just say this. I don't think Philip Grubauer is going to end up with the Edmonton Oilers. Don't think that is going to end up happening here. KDK says, Bob, regarding the draft, why would the Edmonton Oilers consider drafting this year? The prospects in their range are unknown. They won't help the team for at least 2 years. The perceived value of a first-round pick is much higher than the actual short-term value of a first-round pick. I think part of that depends on who's out there. Okay. And, you know, let's put it this way. Edmonton's drafting 19. And if I'm the Oilers and Sebastian Coast is there at 19, I'm taking them all day. Beyond that, I'm not sure what Edmonton, I mean, Edmonton might end up trading out. Brendan, are we good to go here? Sorry, you're just passing the note along to me?
Yeah, you're all good.
All right. Well, we welcome to the show a guy who has made a little bit of news today, to say the least, and I'm sure today's been a very important day in his life. We welcome Nashville Predators prospect signed to a contract, a guy the Oilers had on their radar screen a year ago, Luke Prokop. Hi, Luke. It's Bob. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Bob. How are you?
Good. Are you getting tired of talking to people over the last 24 to 48 hours? Obviously, Jerry Johansson and the Sports Corporation had you teed up with the announcement today of you coming out and becoming the first signed NHL prospect. You've been doing a lot of media. It's been a busy day for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a little bit busy. We're trying to keep it a little low-key and not do as many interviews today and hopefully do a little bit more during the week and the week following. But it's been a really good day so far.
What did it mean for you today just to get it off your chest and just to put it out there and get it done and over with and allow you to kind of take us through that process? What did it mean today for you?
I mean, I think today is kind of the start of almost a new life for me. You know, I had to kind of hide who I was, especially with hockey, for the past 4 or 5 years, knowing, you know, who I truly was and not being able to be who I am now. It's a real relief. And, you know, I can't wait to see how I play next year and kind of my skates moving forward, just being able to kind of let go and be myself and not have to worry about who knows or who doesn't when I'm in the gym or arena and just focus on, you know, getting better on the ice.
Was it an incredible burden for you to deal with, the fact that, you know, you were hiding who you were?
A little bit, you know. Obviously, there's concerns about, you know, how my career might be impacted or how my family or friends might take it. So, obviously, there was a little bit of that. But, you know, I couldn't be thankful for a more grateful and inclusive family and friends. And, you know, they've been so good, you know, over the past few months. And you know, again, I'm just really excited to see where my hockey career takes me and where life takes me as well.
Luke, I've known some of the members of your extended family for, you know, like, you know, Harold and Kathy Rusin as an example, for 35 years. So let's start with family. How do those conversations go for you?
Well, my sister was the first person I told. It was when our season ended because of COVID. I came back from Calgary and, you know, I just kind of got into a place in my life where I was okay and comfortable talking about my sexuality, and I just started having those conversations with my family. So, you know, I started with my mom, or started with my sister, sorry, then my mom, and then obviously, you know, it was, if I felt more of a difficult conversation having it with my dad and my brother, just because I played with Josh for 2 years in Calgary, and he knows what the hockey dynamic is like. And then my father, I mean, he's an A-type personality, so I didn't really know how he would take it, but they've been so great and so supportive, and you know, they just want me to be happy, and you know, this is a step in the right direction for sure.
As you know, we've done the Joffrey Loophole tournament out at Blackhawk for a number of years before Joff retired, and I always love doing that tournament because between Mike Norris and your dad, Al Prokop, I never had to say anything because they were more dialed. So it's funny because part of me sitting here saying, you know what, Luke, like part of me is like, we got to get to a place where this doesn't matter, but it still does matter in terms of having these conversations, especially within the you talked a bit about the family and how you maybe delayed talking to Josh, who was the captain of the Hitmen this year. Hopefully he ends up going to the U of A. I know Keith Gretzky might be bringing him down to the farm team to start off in Bakersfield, but you know, just in terms of that hockey culture, and you know the connection that I've got to the Sexsmith family, Joel's one of your best friends. How do those conversations go?
They're good. I mean, obviously that's one big worry is hockey and how the hockey world was going to take it. And again, you know, I kind of got to the point where there's a reason I did it now, and it's because I don't really care about what other people think. You know, I have so much support from my friends, family, and some of my teammates even that I have that group around me that I don't need, you know, the negative talk from other people that obviously is going to be there. I'm not naive. You know, some people don't think it's right. But no, it's been really good. And I'm happy with everything that's going on.
I know I had a conversation with Brian Burke this morning, and you talked to him as well?
I did, yeah.
You know, he had that experience with his son. That's a guy that's as plugged in and as a high level, and obviously a guy who's a real deep thinker. What sort of, you know, did you get some counseling from him, or was he a good sounding board? How did that conversation go?
Well, he phoned me. He was the first person that phoned me when we kind of started the process of telling, you know, the people who we believed needed to know beforehand, just so I had a kind of group around me that supported me. And he was the first one to phone me and just wanted to congratulate me. I had actually met Berkey beforehand when I was in Calgary and signed my contract down there. And I met him, and he had the undid tie around his neck, and he had his hair slicked back, and he didn't really remember that. So we kind of laughed a bit about that. And, you know, he was really good. He just provided some kind of words of wisdom, and, you know, he understood what was going, you know, through my mind from a dad's perspective when Brendan came out to him. And, you know, it's just a really cool person to have as a contact now that if I ever need something, you know, I can always text Berkey and he'll be there for me.
You signed with the Sports Corporation, Luke Prokop joining us, the first openly gay player on an NHL contract to come out. And you were a first-round pick in the WHL Bantam Draft. Obviously, agencies, people think that all the agent does is negotiate contracts and deals for players, but it's far more than that. How has Jerry Johansson and the group at the Sports Corporation helped facilitate this for you as well?
I mean, I'll put it this way. I don't think I could have ever done this, you know, gone through this whole process without them. They've been, you know, truly amazing in how they've handled it and helping me get, you know, the right resources and in touch with the right people. I sat down with Jerry last June and at Joey's, and I came out to him, and I had two other members of the corporation there, and, you know, I came out to him, and they said, okay, well, we sort of have two options now, and it's up to you. We can keep this private, and you can kind of live your life, you know, as you want to, and tell who you want to, or you can kind of come out publicly and sort of almost be a trailblazer in a sense, and sort of inspire some kids. And that was kind of always the direction I was leaning towards. So when I got back from Calgary in this past COVID season, I sat down with Jerry again, and I was like, hey, this is what I want to do, and you know, let's start the process of doing it. And they've been tremendous in with, you know, keeping me in touch with the right people and getting me media training. And I couldn't be more thankful without them. And I truly couldn't have done this without them.
It's interesting. You talk about the pandemic. Do you think everything you've been through, because I think a lot of us in a variety of different areas have had a lot of time to think over the last 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think maybe that changed instead of having the regular, you know what I mean? Did what we went through dealing with the pandemic allow you to maybe do a little bit more serious introspection?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I wasn't allowed to do any, or most people weren't allowed to do anything, especially in Edmonton, for, you know, a couple months. And so you kind of sit there with your thoughts. Obviously, you're with your friends and your family a little bit, but there's a lot of thinking that had to be done. And, you know, I did that. You know, I thought I had a purpose when I was doing that thinking. And, of course, I generated an amazing bond with my family, bigger than one I would have imagined at the start of all that COVID stuff. And, I mean, that was the reason I told my sister. We had never had a close relationship when I was younger. And, you know, when COVID hit and I came back home, we just hung out together every day. You know, we made TikToks, we made food together. Like we were inseparable during that little bit of time when we couldn't go out or do anything. And so she was definitely one of the reasons why I felt comfortable coming out. And, you know, credit to her, she took it with so much. She didn't care. She wanted me to be happy, and she showed me so much love and support. I mean, from there on, it felt like I could tell anyone.
You see the response today, Luke, from Gary Bettman from the National Hockey League, from Don Fehr, the NHLPA, from David Poile, who, I don't know if you're aware of this, lived in Edmonton for 10 years when his father ran the Edmonton Flyers. So he grew up here at Edmonton. What does it mean to, you know, have the support of the NHL organization that signed you and drafted you? And you know darn well the Oilers were taking you four picks later if Nashville hadn't. What does it mean to have the kind of outpouring of support that you've had right now?
It's huge. I mean, you look at it, they drafted me as a hockey player, and they drafted me as a hockey player, but not only as a person as well. And, you know, to think, you know, I've had to deal kind of this with this issue alone, you know, almost my whole life. And I mean, I'm sure they're excited just to see how much more confident and free I'm going to feel on the ice. And that not only is going to help me, but, you know, it could help them in the future as well.
I went to 8 of the 11 games that the Oil Kings played in the downtown community arena. Cam Moon and myself were within 15 feet of the opposition bench. I was in shock with what was specific. I'll say this. I'll point to one team. Lethbridge was incredibly undisciplined. From coaching staff down, I was really disappointed with some of the stuff that was heard during those games. But now that you've come out and done this, do you expect, you know, I would think it would be a no-fly zone. Is that sort of thing? What do you think? And part of it, I think, is generational. I just think that people are way more aware and way less reliant upon going down a certain path. But what do you think the feedback will be once you get back on the ice?
I mean, I hope it's, you know, fairly positive. Obviously, it's not a secret that, you know, the language in hockey, you know, isn't right. There's, you know, homophobic slurs and racial slurs are used. But I mean, when I hear that stuff, you know, I didn't take it personally when I first heard it, because they didn't know. They didn't know any better. That's the kind of the community and the experience hockey surrounds us with. So, I mean, now, like, when doing this, I hope that, like, if someone were to say something to me on the ice, you know, I'd hope that they would think twice, you know, what words they wanted to use.
What do you need to do to improve as a player? You third round draft choice. You guys didn't get a full season in. I think it's fair to assume, Luke, you're going to be back in the Western Hockey League next year. What aspects of your game do you have to work on to get to the next level?
Yeah, I think, I mean, all around, you can't not get better in one area. One area I've improved a lot in, you know, even as a young kid, was my skating. And I still think that, you know, I'm a good skater now, but I want to be a great skater at an NHL level. And I want to be like the best skater in the Western Hockey League this next year. So I have a lot of motivation, you know, especially with me being able free and being able to be so confident now with, you know, me coming out and being truly who I am. You know, I think, just generating more of a tougher mindset as well, kind of being harder down low in the corners, below the hash marks, and being able to provide offense when I can. But I'm really, really excited to see where this next season goes, and, you know, my future with hockey as well.
We're joined by 6'5" right shot D-man Luke Prokop, who came out today as the first openly gay NHL draft player. One final one for you. What's the message that you would have out there for people? And just to sort of maybe reiterate where we started from today, Luke, and why you elected to come out today.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of why I came out today. You know, a lot of it was for me to, you know, to be comfortable in my own skin and be my true self. But a little bit of it was, you know, I want to be able to show kids that it's, you know, it's okay to be gay and play sports. It's okay to be gay and do what you love. I mean, not everyone's situation is the same, so I can't comment on, you know, I can't really give advice in any sense. But if I were to say something, it's, you know, once you accept who you truly are, then, you know, then you can start kind of that process of if you wanted to come out or if you don't. But again, I can't tell anyone what to do. This was just my experience, and so many other experiences with players and with other people in the world are different.
Luke, appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
You bet. That is Luke Prokop. It is 1:25 in Edmonton. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
1:27 in Edmonton. Quickly in the Ashley Fine Floors text line for about a minute and a half after Luke Prokop interview on today's edition of Oilers Now. Mike says, Luke, well done. Bravo for your courage as a teacher of a bisexual hockey player who came out to me. I appreciate your leadership and example. All the best in wishing you a successful career. Again, you can text us. Mark in St. Albert says, Bob, great guest, proud of him for being proud for who he is. Shouldn't have to be such a big issue, but it still is. We need to be more inclusive, bottom line. My generation isn't, but things are improving. That one comes to us from Mark in St. Albert. Again, you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. Ellen says, can't wait for the day when this is not news, but congratulations to Luke, and I hope you feel the support of the public behind you. Again, you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Brendan, let's get to it. We got about a minute into the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com.
Well, Carey Price's exclusion from the team's protected list may be just indicative of them sort of daring Seattle to take on two of these injuries. So 34-year-old Price is getting a second opinion from a doctor this week in New York about a knee injury that they discovered in an MRI. He's also got a hip problem, and both of these things might require surgeries. So that's a heck of a gamble for GM Ron Francis to take on in Seattle, and we're not sure of the outcome, obviously, that this is going to have on the rest of Price's career. So we'll see.
All right, there you have it. 1:29 in Edmonton. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. When we come back, Al May, longtime Washington Capitals player and broadcaster, Edmonton area product. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.